$249 में.
अभी में 2-piece पावर रिक्लाइनर सेट ओनली फॉर $1299. टाइप के कॉफी टेबल भाई जस्ट $99 के. सो आप वेट किस बात की, जल्दी से अपने फैमिली को लेके आओ सोडी फर्नीचर इन ब्रैम्पटन.
घर बनवाना हो या पुराना घर नया करना हो, अरम होम बिल्डर्स एंड रेनोवेटर्स आपके साथ हैं. कस्टम होम बिल्ड्स, होम एडिशन, किचन और बाथरूम रेनोवेशन, बेसमेंट रेनोवेशन, पेंटिंग, टाइल्स और हार्डवुड फ्लोरिंग्स के लिए हर काम में महारत, मेयार और एतमाद. अभी कॉल कीजिए 416-841-5825 या विजिट कीजिए इनकी वेबसाइट aramrenovation.ca. अरम रेनोवेशन, ख्वाबों की तामीर एतमाद के साथ.
यू आर लिसनिंग टू WTUR 770 AM, यंगस्टाउन, टोरंटो.
Assalamu alaikum, how are you today? I hope you're doing well.
Stick around to be inspired.
Welcome listeners to another edition of Muslim Perspective. This is your host Alim Ali. Today's selection from the Quran is taken from chapter 2 verses 183 to 187.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات فمن كان منكم مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر وعلى الذين يطيقونه فدية طعام مسكين فمن تطوع خيرا فهو خير له وأن تصوموا خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون أحل لكم ليلة الصيام الرفث إلى نسائكم هن لباس لكم وأنتم لباس لهم علم الله أنكم كنتم تختانون أنفسكم فتاب عليكم وعفى عنكم فالآن باشروهن وابتغوا ما كتب الله لكم وكلوا واشربوا حتى يتبين لكم الخيط الأبيض من الخيط الأسود من الفجر ثم أتموا الصيام إلى الليل ولا تباشروهن وأنتم عاكفون في المساجد تلك حدود الله فلا تقربوها كذلك يبين الله آياته للناس لعلهم يتقون.
Those verses are taken from the Quran, chapter 2, verses 183 to 187. As you would have listened to, this has to do with Shahrul Ramadan, the month of Ramadan. And the translation of it into English is, "In the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. O believers, fasting is prescribed for you as it was for those before you. So perhaps you will become mindful of God. Fast a prescribed number of days, but whoever of you is ill or on a journey, then let them fast an equal number of days after Ramadan. For those who can only fast with extreme difficulty, compensation can be made by feeding a needy person for every day not fasted. But whoever volunteers to give more, it is better for them. And to fast is better for you if only you knew." Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed as a guide for humanity, with clear proofs of guidance and a decisive authority. So whoever is present this month, let them fast, but whoever is ill or on a journey, then let them fast an equal number of days after Ramadan. Allah intends ease for you, not hardship, so that you may complete the prescribed period and proclaim the greatness of Allah for guiding you, and perhaps you will be grateful. When my servants ask you, O Prophet, about me, I am truly near. I respond to one's prayer when they call upon me. So let them respond with obedience to me and believe in me. Perhaps they will be guided to the right way. It has been made permissible for you to be intimate with your wives during the nights preceding the fast. Your spouses are a garment for you as you are for them. God knows that you were deceiving yourselves, so He has accepted your repentance and pardoned you. So now you may be intimate with them and seek what God has prescribed for you. You may eat and drink until you see the light of dawn, breaking the darkness of night, then complete the fast until nightfall. Do not be intimate with your spouses while you are meditating in the mosque. These are the limits set by God, so do not exceed them. This is how God makes His revelations clear to people, so that they may become mindful of Him. These are the verses, chapter 2, verse 183 to 187. On the line, we have Ustad Faisal Baksh to give us some further reflections on these verses. Ustad has a lifelong history of teaching and coaching Muslims in the theology and practice of Islam. Ustad is also a licensed family counselor, assisting in resolving spousal issues and helping parents navigate raising children in this society. Ustad, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I hope you're doing well, and please let's reflect on these verses.
Thank you. I begin in the name of God, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And peace and blessings be upon the final of the Messenger, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family and all those who follow his way until the end of time. Certainly. As we look in these verses and their meanings and applications, it is pertinent because it occurs a few days prior to the beginning of the blessed month of Ramadan. So what I would like to do actually is to take the lessons from the verses and apply them in the form of a framework, a model, if you will, As you know, the human being is very complex, and we have multiple facets. We have an intellect, we have a mental capacity, we have a spiritual capacity, physical, and so on and so forth, emotional and intellectual. Oftentimes when we look at these verses, we tend to extract only the legal rulings and the legal regulations, and there are many in the verses. And a lot of the khutbas and the speeches leading up to the month will focus on those things. So what I wanted to do is take a broader perspective and a higher level, keeping in mind the nature of the human being. So as we arrive in the doorstep of Ramadan, what is the focus of attention on our condition, spiritually, emotionally? As I said, the intellectual conversations are there regarding the legal rulings. But rather, we have to make an effort to prepare our hearts ready to receive the blessings, the mercy, the forgiveness of Allah and God Almighty, and freedom from His retribution in the Akhirah. So the whole mindset of coming into Ramadan has to be with a heart that is ready to receive, a heart that is tender and gentle, a heart that is soft. Because when we look at Ramadan, it's a divine gift for improvement, for elevation, for growth, for transformation. So specifically then, what I would like to propose is this framework. Prior to Ramadan, beginning now, we can spend some time doing the following. In an effort to make the hearts a little bit gentle, soften the hearts, so that it becomes the locus of the recipient place where divine gaze can occur. So what I'm proposing here is for us, starting off now, to forgive all those who have done wrong to us or harmed us in any way. And if possible, if it wouldn't lead to any detrimental condition, then to indicate if this is doable. To those who have wronged us or those who have done ill towards, to forgive them. The second, and these are by no means in order of priority, I'm just listing. The second is being grateful and expressing gratitude to God Almighty for all the gifts and the bounties that He has granted to us. So this brings about a humbling demeanor, a humbling state, a brokenness, so that when we come into Ramadan, we're already humbled, so to speak. For us to realize that we are unable to have or do anything without the divine decree. So we expressing gratitude also for being here and ready to witness the blessed month once again and observing the various acts of worship. The third thing I'd like to emphasize and propose is to be patient with all our difficulties, tribulations, trials, hardships, sickness, and so on and so forth. So we have gratitude on one hand, we have patience on the other. The fourth is to mend all broken relationships, especially those with kith and kin. Even if we do it at the level of internally to say, you know, this relationship is broken, let me fix it. And so you make an effort. And then lastly, and certainly not meaning that it's the last, but helping those in need. So we start off by looking at the poor, looking at the needy, looking at those suffering, reaching out to lonely ones. We develop an empathetic condition. So these five items can lend itself or themselves to softening the heart and making the heart gentle. So Ramadan comes and we are already in this state of a softening of the heart. So when the Quran mentions, when Allah mentions and God Almighty mentions in the Quran, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, as we often hear, what is that? And why would that work or not work? It works when the heart is the recipient of the divine gaze, the recipient of mercy, of blessings, of forgiveness, of being elevated from a condition of weakness to a condition of strength. Now, so after we've said that, I mean, into the month itself, we see through these verses that we develop a purposeful and conscious intention to come to Ramadan. And I want to point out, not limited to fulfilling an obligation, although that is mentioned in the verse, but rather more to do at a higher level, a sort of a joy, a desire, a love, and happiness towards obeying Allah, towards obeying God Almighty. We come into the month with an aspiration, and that aspiration is to do as much good as possible, however small or minor that may be, and undertaking every effort. We want to come to this month with the purposeful intention of saying, and conscious intention, they call it intentionality, to be forgiven by God Almighty. Right? So however small those good actions are, so do them and not resist or say, I'm going to do bigger things. So for instance, for example, even if it means reaching out to someone who is lonely, somebody who inquire about them, about their well-being, a relative you've not been in contact with for some time. The key to all this is a significant question, and that is, what are we doing and why are we doing it? So this is presence. This brings about a presence. The other area that the verses highlight talks about family, it talks about spouses. هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنَّ. You are like garments to each other. The whole idea that in this month, the family and communal engagement occur. So we have many iftars with community iftars. We have family iftars. We have Taraweeh, and we have other programs. So in this framework that I'm suggesting here is being kind. Remember, the hearts are already beginning to soften. Being kind, thoughtful, forgiving, overlooking minor missteps. When we go to programs, communal programs, a lot of things that we can complain about. And, you know, and sometimes it leads us to saying wrong things or doing wrong things. So what we are attempting to do is, because God Almighty emphasizes this particular point, in the verses, we have to make an effort to enhance relationships and thus avoid any physical or verbal harm to anyone, right? So, you know, Taraweeh is a time, and I've been, you know, attending many Taraweeh prayers. We often hear night after night about the noise, about the talking when the prayer is happening, about the laughter, about conversations when, you know, and many times it's directed towards either children or people who leave the masjid after a certain amount of rakats. So the idea is to become cognizant of our demeanor, our you know, conduct, so that with a softened heart, with softened hearts, we have a different disposition towards all this. The other thing that the verses emphasize is when my servants ask about me, inquire about me, tell them I'm close, and they call upon me. So dua and azkar, constantly, consistently, we choose to do them, and we start off with things that we already know. Very simple things. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, glory be to God. Praises are for God. Oh, God is great. So we start off with these things, and we do it consistently and constantly. In terms of transformation, in this framework, I would propose that we select one weakness or shortcoming that we would like to remove and focus on this during the month. Don't choose many things. We become overwhelmed. Conversely, we can choose one strength, one thing that we're strong in, to improve and to be better at. Now, The other thing that people have a struggle with is they're busy. So what we can do to manage this, have a clear, conscious, and sincere intention that our work or business or studies are done with the purpose of fulfilling our obligations as believers. So then all worldly engagements are regarded as acts of worship, acts of ibadah, and thus rewarded. So we don't have to feel a sense of guilt. We don't have to feel a sense of sucked into constant remorse that we missed this and missed that because of our schedules. So if we do it that way, then our entire month can be one of acts of worship. What I would also propose is to, based on our schedules, to plan a routine of specific spiritual acts, like reciting the Quran, and I suggest we also recite the meaning as well. Reading a selection of adhkar and du'as, salat and salam, the Durood Sharif from the Prophet, peace be upon him, any beneficial reading. The important part of this is try not to take on too much, but gradually increase if manageable. And don't feel bad if any act is missed. So we are striving in our best effort to transform ourselves given the blessings of this great month. And my final point is to propose that we give sadaqah and zakah to the poor and needy. And if we can be able to help those directly in need where we give it from our hand to their hands, that's the best. But if sending overseas, like so many different places, then choose a reliable charity, a reputable charity, to act as our agents. Because a lot of things are going on these days that really puts us in a very difficult position. So we pray that God Almighty blesses us with a beautiful month and help us to restore some sanctity to our belief and our practices and our relationships with our families and with each other. Wa akhiru da'wan and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam. Jazakallah khair, Ustaz. Any projections as to when Ramadan will start, the 18th or the 19th?
The expectation is on the 19th because of the sightability of the moon, which will occur most likely on Wednesday night.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak.
Welcome. Ramadan Mubarak to you and your family. Oh.
Ramadan by Noor. Let's now listen to some advice from Brother Moiz Bukhari as he speaks about Ramadan and taqwa. Taqwa meaning God consciousness.
What is the purpose behind Ramadan? Why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed fasting for us? Why has Allah the Almighty made us fast in such a way that we have to starve from dusk till dawn? Is it mere starving from dusk till dawn? Nay, there is a much greater objective behind why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed fasting upon us. He himself states in the Noble Quran, O you who believe, kutiba alaykumus siyam, fasting has been prescribed upon you all and also the nations before you all. For what reason? La'allakum tattaqoon, so that you all adopt taqwa. So that you all become people of taqwa. Taqwa is the ultimate goal behind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creating us. He says in the Noble Quran, I have not created jinnkind or mankind for any other purpose other than worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, O mankind, worship your Lord who created you and then even created the nations before you all. Once again, la'allakum tattaqoon, so that you all become people of taqwa. Taqwa is the ultimate goal behind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even creating us. What is taqwa? At-taqwa is an Arabic term which stems from the root waqa, yaqi, wiqaya, which means to put up a barrier. Some people have translated taqwa as the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people have translated it as the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is both of these meanings coupled together, and it is fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simultaneously being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I would say the most beautiful definition in regard to taqwa is the definition of Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah, who says that taqwa is to put up a barrier, to put up a protection, to protect you from the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar radiallahu an, he once asked Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu an, Ya Ubay, define taqwa for me. Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu asks Umar radiallahu anhu, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, have you ever walked down a thorny path? He replies in the affirmative, yes I have. Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu asks him, so what did you do when you were walking down that path? Umar radiallahu anhu replies, I gathered my clothes together, I took precaution and moved down that path very carefully. Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu then says, that is exactly what taqwa is. Because the path that we are traversing is this temporary life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. And the thorns are the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are far and wide, where the devil uses those thorns to snag us and make us stumble. So we are supposed to take much precaution and move away from those thorns and traverse down the path. Then that is taqwa, resulting in us being successful in this world as well as the hereafter. Taqwa is something that governs our limbs. The minute we ingrain taqwa in our lives, the minute we infuse our hearts with taqwa, it keeps us away from sins. It makes us abide to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, resulting in us being successful in this world as well as the hereafter, as our powerful maker states in the Noble Quran, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازًا. Indeed, for the people of taqwa, is success, is victory. Allahu Akbar. Success in this world as well as the hereafter. So let us use this month of Ramadan to ingrain taqwa in our lives, to infuse our hearts with taqwa. May Allah the Almighty forgive all of our sins, and may He accept our good deeds, and may He help us to use this month of Ramadan to the maximum, and may He help us to make the best of this month of Ramadan as if it is our last month of Ramadan. وآخر دعواي عن الحمد لله رب العالمين جزاكم الله خير.
That's Sheikh Moez Bukhari, as he advises us on the purpose of Ramadan, to gain God consciousness, to really, from our internals, from our mind, from our heart, that's where the place for motivation and intention comes from, and to cleanse that so that we may be good people. The fasting denies the body, but nourishes the soul, so to speak. Let's listen to Ramadan by Zaki.
Ramadan is the month of mercy. Ramadan is the month of fasting. Ramadan is the month of giving and helping those in need. Ramadan is the month of the Quran, the month in which it first came down. To Prophet Muhammad in year 16, a guide for all mankind.
Ramadan for fasting, for giving.
Ramadan
for praying. Be patient.
Ramadan
for giving and feeding.
Ramadan,
we love you.
Oh Ramadan! Ramadan is the month of patience. Ramadan is the month of sacrifice. Ramadan is the month of praying in the mosque for Taraweeh. Ramadan is such a fruitful month for gaining lots of hasanah. The devils are chained and Jahannam is locked for all of Ramadan.
You don't eat food. No. You don't lose a temper. No. You don't drink anything. No. You don't sleep all day. No. You read Quran. Yes. You pray a lot. Yes. We have the poor. Yes. You greet our faith. Yes.
Ramadan.
Ramadan, Ramadan, Ramadan. Ramadan, Ramadan, Ramadan. Ramadan, Ramadan, Ramadan. Ramadan, Ramadan, Ramadan. Ramadan, Ramadan, Ramadan. Ramadan, Ramadan, Ramadan.
Yes, Ramadan, which is anticipated based on moon sighting to begin on the 19th of February. So we are in the cusp of it, and that's why we are dedicating today's theme to Ramadan and our preparation in the build-up for it. Now, fasting in itself in the Abrahamic religion is not new. Let's listen to Sheikh Ali Atai from Zaitina Institute as he speaks about the Abrahamic faith's tradition of fasting.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm here to speak to you about fasting in the Judeo-Christian tradition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. That fasting has been prescribed upon you just as it was prescribed upon those before you. And the Mufassirin, the exegetes of the Qur'an here say that the people who came before us, this is Ahlul Kitab. And Ahlul Kitab literally means the people of the book. And the word Bible in Greek, ton bablion, means literally the book. And this is important. Now, there's an axiom amongst the ulama that says the merit of a thing is known by its objective. And the objective is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, to increase us in taqwa. And part of having taqwa is guarding against disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this involves what's known as mushahada, being conscious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed watching us. And also muraqabah, to be vigilant of His watchful eye, as it were, and to watch our behavior, and to watch what we say, and how we think, and how we interact with one another. So this is something that's mentioned in the books of Ahlul Kitab as well. And that part of having taqwa is not only being conscious of God, but to be conscious of God's creation. And when we're conscious of God's creation, we can empathize with people who don't eat on a daily basis. And when our empathy increases, we have compassion. And when we have compassion, then we have the attributes of all of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So fasting is not something that comes out of thin air, as it were. It's not something that Islam or the Quran invented. It has deep Abrahamic roots. In fact, the word for fasting in Hebrew and in Aramaic, respectively, which are the languages of Moses and Jesus, peace be upon them, respectively, is also Tsom. It's pronounced the same, Tsom. And this is mentioned dozens of times in the Old Testament. For example, in Psalm 35:13, David writes, Inati bat Tsom nafshi, that through fasting I have humbled my soul. So there are deep Abrahamic roots in fasting. There are also typologies of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in the Bible as well. Related to Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, which was in the month of Ramadan. If you read the book of Isaiah chapter 29 verse 12, it says the book is given to one, Lo Yada' Sefer, who doesn't know a book, who is unlettered. And it shall be said to him, Qara in the Hebrew language, which is the exact cognate of the imperative Iqra, which is in the Quran. And he shall answer, Lo Yada'ati Sefer, I don't know the book. And this happened during the month of Ramadan. We also know that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was in Medina, he noticed that the Jewish elements in Medina, the Bani Israel, they were fasting on Yomi Ashura. This is the 10th of Muharram, the 10th day of the first month of the Islamic calendar. And back then, this day was referred to as Asara bi Tishri by the Jews, which is also obviously the 10th day of the first month of the Hebrew calendar. Now, these days used to match back then. And this day is also known as Yom Kippur. Now, in the Christian calendar and the Christian era, the Jews began to use an intercalary month, so these days no longer match. But back then, Yom Kippur and Yomi Ashura were perfectly aligned. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he also encouraged Muslims to fast on this day in commemoration of the events that happened in the lifetime of Musa alayhi salam. So this is interesting that Muslims actually fast on the authentic Yom Kippur. In Matthew chapter 4, we are told that Isa alayhi salam, Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, he would go to the wilderness to fast before the gospel was revealed to him. And the Greek says something interesting. It says, Kai nesteusas hemeras tesarokonta, kai nuktas tesarokonta. He was fasting 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And of course, devout Christians will commemorate this fast. This is called Lent, from the German Lens, which means springtime. In Latin, it's called the Quadragesima, which literally means 40. This is a 40-day fast. The Roman Catholics will begin fasting Lent on Ash Wednesday, and they'll stop on Holy Thursday, if you count the Sundays. And there's difference of opinion whether you count the Sundays or not. Now, the most dominant opinion in regard of how to fast for Christians in this time is the opinion of Thomas Aquinas, who basically said, generally, you stay away from meat, eggs, and dairy. But there are other opinions as well. Socrates Scholasticus, who was a 4th century Christian historian, he said at his time, some Christians would not eat or drink all day long until evening, which is very similar to the Muslim fast. He said some would not eat and drink until midday. Some would only eat and drink bread and water. So it's a difference of opinion. But the dominant opinion here belongs to Thomas Aquinas. And of course, Isa alayhi salam, Jesus Christ, as understood by the Gospel of Matthew, his 40-day fast in the wilderness was only to mimic what had happened with the Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, when he was on Mount Sinai and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِذْ وَعَدْنَا مُوسَىٰ أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلَةً, that we had appointed for Moses 40 nights. And the great medieval Jewish systematic theologian, Nahmanides, he says very clearly that when Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, he did not eat nor drink. And for Nahmanides, that's sort of a foreshadowing of the pneumatically oriented bodies that all of us are going to be resurrected into, and what he calls the Olam Hava, or the world to come, Al-Akhirah. So the number 40 is very significant in sacred history. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in his 40th year when he went to the cave on Laylatul Qadr. He went to the mountain of light. 40 is a holy number. Probably the equivalent of the Summa Theologica in the Islamic tradition is the Ihya Ulumuddin by Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, the most comprehensive exposition of classical Islam ever written. And there's 40 books. The ulama used to say, if you don't have the Ihya, you should sell your lihya, sell your beard to get to the Ihya. The 40 days is something that is confirmed. And the Prophet, we know, was protected from idolatry for those 40 years. Now, there is also something called the Didache, which is a very interesting document. The Didache in Greek literally means teaching. Most scholars of the New Testament will date the Didache to about 100 or 120 of the Common Era, right around the time when the Gospel of John was written. And most scholars will actually say that the original Didache was written in the Syriac language, which was the language of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. This document was actually lost until 1873, when it was rediscovered in a monastery. The Didache represents the teaching of the actual disciples of Jesus to Gentile Christians. And one of the interesting things it mentions in the Didache is that Christians from this very early period, they used to fast twice a week. And in Luke chapter 18,
We are told in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector that the Jews at the time of Isa alayhi salam, they would also fast twice a week. Because that's one of the things that the Pharisee says. He says, Neste odis tu sabbatu, I fast twice a week. And he was saying that because he was bragging about himself. Now we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also would regularly fast twice a week. And according to some of the schools of jurisprudence, this is considered a mustahab or recommended fast. He would fast on Mondays and Thursdays. Also, mimicking what the Jews had been doing since the time of Isa alayhi salam, and what the Christians were doing as well in the early part of the first three or four centuries of Christian history. The Prophet, peace be upon him, was asked, why do you fast on Monday? And he said, Yoma wulidtu fi, this is the day that I was born. Why is he fasting on Thursday? He said, on Thursday, this is when the deeds of the sons and daughters of Adam are presented to their Lord. And I want to be fasting when my deeds are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, also in Matthew chapter 6, Isa alayhi salam, during the Sermon on the Mount, he gives teachings with respect to fasting. And he says something interesting here. He says, Hotan de nesteu ete me gineste hoshoi hupokrate. He says, when you fast, don't do it like the hypocrites. How do the hypocrites do it according to Isa alayhi salam? They walk around groggy and tired so that people will think they're fasting, and then people will come to them and say, hey, are you fasting, brother? They say, yes, I'm fasting. Oh, mashallah, you're such a pious person. So he says, wash your face and anoint thy head. And then he says, kai hapatersu, so that your father, and here, what he means by father is not his literal father. This is very important. When Isa alayhi salam taught the Bani Israel how to pray, he said, Avunna vashmayo nitqata shmuch, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He didn't mean this in a literal sense. This was not something that was Orthodox Christianity until the church synods, ecumenical councils in the 4th century. In the 1st century, when Jesus refers to God as his Father, he means that he is the Rabb, he is the Master, he is the Sustainer, he is the one that we have a personal relationship with. So he says, your Father in heaven, Hablepon ento kraifeo apodoseso, your Father in heaven will give you in secret. So this reminds us of a beautiful hadith Qudsi, which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kulli amali ibni Adam lahu illa siyam. Every action of the son of Adam is for him except fasting. For innahu li, for that is mine, wa ajzi bihi, and I will reward my servant for that. This is something that no one knows we're doing except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course there are health benefits to fasting, reducing your caloric intake, reduce the risk of obesity. Which is really interesting is Dr. Mark P. Mattson, who is the chief of neurosciences at the National Institute of Aging. He says that intermittent fasting, what does that mean? That means fasting every other day, has significant health benefits for you, reducing the bad cholesterol in your blood, reducing the risk of heart disease and cancer, slowing the aging process. And of course we know from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the most beloved type of fasting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this intermittent fasting, which is called the fast of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. These are some of the things to think about when we engage with the friends and neighbors about fasting, that this is something that is found in their traditions as well, and this is something that is a unifying factor for all of us. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Sheikh Ali Atai from Zaytuna Institute, as he spoke, really to explore this chapter, verse 183 of chapter 2, O believers, fasting is prescribed for you as it was for those before you, so perhaps you will become mindful of God. So here he demonstrated for those before you in clear terms. Let's listen now to Ramadan Mercy by Zain, Bilal and Karim Khadiki.
Ramadan mercy, man, I be so thirsty. Gotta eat before Fajr, so I wake up at 4:30. Ramadan mercy, man, I be so thirsty. Gotta eat before Fajr, so I wake up at 4:30. Ramadan mercy, yeah. Man, I be so thirsty. Yeah. Gotta eat before Fajr, so I wake up at 4:30. Yeah. Ramadan mercy, yeah. Man, I be so thirsty. Yeah. Gotta eat before Fajr, so I wake up at 4:30.
Yeah. Drop it to the floor, pray that to the wick. Praying so hard, make your legs shake. Fill the mosque up with a cat, that's for God's sake. Roll, roll, roll my rug up when I finish praying. Say, man, say, man, don't we do this 30 day days? We fast them long days, cause we obey, babe. Finally sundown, now I need dates and a full plate, and I keep still eating, no wonder why they gain weight. Now we praying negative, yeah, I'm feeling great. Next up, mom's kunafas on my plate. Spiritual high, asking for forgiveness. I'm raising my deen with Allah as my witness.
Ramadan mercy, man, I be so thirsty. Gotta eat before Fajr, so I wake up at 4:30. Ramadan mercy, man, I be so thirsty. Gotta eat before Fajr, so I wake up at 4:30. Ramadan mercy, man, I be so thirsty. Gotta eat before Fajr, so I wake up at 4:30. Ramadan mercy, man, I be so thirsty. Gotta eat before Fajr, so I wake up at 4:30.
Yep, it's my time, I'm cleaned up, it's time to pray, yo. Gotta concentrate, Shaitan better get out my way, yo. At Juma prayer, I'm inspired, this hook me tight, like, whoa. I'm fasting so to everyone I'm polite. I flip the pages of the Quran. The gospel saying what's right and wrong. God took his time, 23 years and revealed it during the month of Ramadan. No eating, no drinking for 30 days. My stomach's shrinking, my curse words are non-existent. This month teaches me self-discipline. One God, preference, Allah, he's generous. The book says no excess, so the prophet teaches temperance. Woo! Islam's final exam. Its lessons go wherever I go. Wherever I go, I say salam. Peace.
Ramadan mercy, man, I be so thirsty. Gotta eat before Fajr, so I wake up at 4:30. Ramadan mercy, man, I be so thirsty. Gotta eat before Fajr, so I wake up at 4:30. Ramadan mercy, man, I be so thirsty. Gotta eat before Fajr, so I wake up at 4:30. Ramadan mercy, man, I be so thirsty. Gotta eat before Fajr, so I wake up at 4:30.
See ya.
See ya. See ya.
See ya.
See ya.
See ya.
Set the dinner table up. I threw dried dates next to the yogurt cup. Do a lure just to make my mouth wet. You know what that means? I got bad breath. I stepped in the Jama'ah with the Ummah. Pray Jum'ah plus some extra sun now. Most devils ain't able to do evil. They disable, fill up your plate. Tail is up to your face level. Try not to cut so I get the most blessing. Plus, yo, my prayer make your prayer look like stretches. Something about Mary, if only she was hijabi. Now everybody can eat, say Bismillahi Rahman Rahim. And yo, pass me the lahmi. Don't forget, Maghrib, man, prayer is my hobby. Allah is ordering, so it's real important. You don't see God in the angels.
No ketchup on my clean face, no food to eat in the first place. I fast and pray at the same time, no champagne, you must abstain. SubhanAllah after everything, no Mickey D's or Burger King. 30 days, no girls at the gymnast in the Olympic Games. No steak, no A1, mom always in an apron. Black hijabis come stand around me when it's time to pray Tarawih. Got more swagger when I pray faggot, no gaps in the lines when I pray faggot. Need to be clean when I pray faggot, I make wudu or I take a shower. Kafar, snoring, gotta give the cat to the poor and gotta eat sahur in the morning. Pray faggot in the morning.
That's Ramadan Mercy by Zain Bilal and Karam Hadidi. Let's listen now to a bit of Ramadan Is Here by Native Dean.
Ramadan is here.
Ramadan is here.
bust in the door like, get yourself up, you about to miss a whore. Turkey bacon on the plate, but I'm beefing. I'm upstairs sleeping while they down here eating. Scenes like this, it makes me reminisce what it meant. Growing up with Ramadan as a kid, my homies buying up the corner store. Now latest quarter waters, we break it 8, but it's quarter to 4. They got jokes, like, oh yeah, he's fasting. Something about blessings, heaven everlasting. Asking, like your feds up on me. Like, dude, let me ask you for real, is you hungry? My hunger for the day when the sins of my slate be as empty as the food on my plate. And if you got jokes, man, here's a taste. Take a little bite, just grab it to the face. More donations, dinner invitations, many supplications. Good behavior means better reputations. Don't start nothing, no provocations. No fighting, no argumentation. From the fitna and the drama, take a vacation. Mosque is packed with a huge congregation. Some just come as an annual visitation. Some just come for the hum of the recitation. Memorization of revelation. Less temptation and more contemplation. Getting ready for the Eid celebration. Shake a lot of hands, giving salutations. Salam alaikum, peace upon the nation. The world is one, forget the segregation. Another Ramadan, congratulations.
Yes, indeed, Ramadan is anticipated to start on February 19th, so it's practically here. As we said, anticipated to start on February 19th. And until next week, first Saturday of the month of Ramadan, I say peace out and Ramadan Mubarak to you and your family. Let's end with Muhyiddin Chisti's last words, as read by Sheikh Hamza Yusuf.
One of the greatest saints of our history was a great saint named Muhyiddin Chisti. And the last talk that he gave to his students is how I'd like to talk to you, because I don't think I could do anything better than Muhyiddin Chisti. He said to his students as he was departing the world, love all and hate none. Mere talk of peace will avail you not. Mere talk of God and religion will not take you far. Bring out all the latent powers of your being and reveal the full magnificence of your immortal self. Be overflowing with peace and joy and scatter them wherever you go, wherever you are. Be a blazing fire of truth, be a beauteous blossom of love, and be a soothing balm of peace. With your spiritual light, dispel the darkness of ignorance, dissolve the clouds of discord and war, and spread goodwill, peace, and harmony among the people. Never seek any help, charity, or favors from anybody except God. Do not go to the courts of kings, but never refuse to bless and help the needy and the poor, the widow and the orphan, if they come to your door. This is your mission, to serve the people. Carry it out dutifully and courageously, so that I, as your teacher, will not be ashamed of any shortcomings on your part before Almighty God and our blessed predecessors in this silsila on the Day of Judgment. Alhamdulillah.
अपनी कम्युनिटी दा सब तो वड्डा वधिया क्वालिटी वाला ते सब तो पुराना सोडी फर्नीचर हर घर दी पहचान बन चुकी है
ओ फिर बने भी क्यों ना क्योंकि बेडरूम सेट सोफा सेट मैट्रेसेस डाइनिंग टेबल डेकोरेटिव आइटम्स गल कीजी सारे घर दा फर्नीचर वधिया क्वालिटी ते डिस्काउंटेड प्राइस ते मिल जांदा सोडी फर्नीचर तो 3 साल ले नो ब्याज
142 कैनेडी रोड ब्रैम्पटन 9058747171
ट्रक ड्राइवर भाइयों अब यूएस और कनाडा में अनलिमिटेड डाटा वीवो टेलीकम्युनिकेशंस के साथ फुल स्पीड नो रुकावट सफर बिजनेस का हो या शौक का वर्ल्ड वाइड ई सिम डाटा प्लान के साथ इंटरनेट हमेशा रेडी ट्रैवल कर रहे हो इंडिया पाकिस्तान या हज या उमरे के लिए वीवो टेली के साथ हमेशा रहो ऑनलाइन दूर दराज इलाका कोई प्रॉब्लम नहीं घर हो या केबिन वीवरटेल की हाई स्पीड इंटरनेट चलती है दुनिया के किसी भी कोने में विजिट करें vivertel.com या कॉल करें 416-243-9836 416-243-9836 कनेक्शन आपका दुनिया के साथ
770 AM دی نشریات سنن تے حالات حاضرہ تو با خبر رہن دے واسطے نیوز انفارمیشن انالیسس الیکٹرک گڈیاں دے وچ ای آواز آفیشل ایپ یا ساڈی ویب سائٹ eawaz.com لوکل نمبر
6478724900 वो भुलाई नहीं जाती।
मौजूद खवातीन हजरात अस्सलाम वालेकुम आपकी मोहब्बतों और चाहतों के साथ लियाकत नवाज मलिक भूली बिसरी यादें लेकर हाजिर खिदमत है आज हम मिले जुले और फरमाइशी गीतों का प्रोग्राम पेश करते हैं हमारे साथ रहिएगा सबसे पहले हम एक गीत देखते और सुनते हैं फिल्म थी शाम ढले ये 1960 में ये फिल्म बनी थी और इस फिल्म को प्रोड्यूस किया था संतोष कुमार साहब ने जो सबिया खानम के खावन थे जिनका असली नाम सैयद